Today we're going to talk about angels. Angels on Earth. Our guest today is Laura Schroff, and she previously, you may have read her book, The Invisible Thread, which was her initial writing in this area, but she has subsequently written another book called Angels on Earth, Inspiring Real-Life Stories of Fate, Friendship, and the Power of Connections. And in her first book, she talked about her friendship with Maurice, an 11-year-old homeless panhandler that she met on a Manhattan street corner one day in 86. And this unlikely friendship formed an invisible thread, which, according to an ancient Chinese proverb, connects people who are destined to meet. And we're going to talk about that. And Laura is an international and number one New York Times bestselling author, a keynote speaker, and is passionate and compelling with her voice on the power of small acts of kindness and mentorship. So she has spoke alongside Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the former First Lady Laura Bush, and best-selling author Malcolm Gladwell. So let's get right to it. Laura, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you, Wynn, so much for having me on your show, and I'm delighted to talk about An Invisible Thread, and also Angels on Earth.
Well, I was really impressed reading your book. It's one of the best books that I've read, and I've, on my show, I've had 871 previous authors, and so you set a really high standard in my estimation with your book. Go back and describe for our audience An Invisible Thread, and tell them a little bit about that, please.
Well, thank you for your lovely compliments. An Invisible Thread, actually, it came out in 2011, and it's about a young boy that I met back in 1986 who was a welfare child. We both lived in New York City, and I actually lived at the time on West 56th Street, and he lived on 54th. So we were just separated by one street. And as I was walking up 56th Street, and again, at the time, he was 11 years old, he said to me, "Excuse me, lady, do you have any spare change? I'm hungry." And my initial reaction was to say no, and I did, and I walked away. But then as I walked away, what resonated with me was the fact that he said he was hungry. So I decided to go back, and I said to him, "Excuse me." I said, "You said you're hungry." I said, "I don't want to give you any money, but if you'd like, I will take you over to McDonald's and I'll get you something to eat." And what I didn't know at the time was that, unfortunately, he was a young child at 11 years old who had no choice but to fend for himself. He lived at the Bryan Hotel, which was one of the most drug-infested shelter hotels in all of New York City, and he was out trying to get money for food. So we went to McDonald's and we had the sweetest conversation. So when lunch was over, I asked him if he wanted to take a walk to the park. And so we took a walk to the park, and I asked him if he wanted any ice cream, and he looked over at Haagen-Dazs and he said to me, "Designer ice cream?" So I said, "Well, I guess so." And we had some ice cream. Then he asked me if I liked to play video games, and we played some video games. Which was really interesting, though, is that morning, it was Labor Day weekend, and I was actually supposed to be going to the U.S. Open with business and taking some clients. And when I woke up that morning, it was raining, and so the Open was canceled. So I had no plans, where normally I pretty much had my schedule pretty booked. And so I had this morning available, and when the sun came out and the rain stopped, I decided to take this walk, and I ended up meeting Maurice. And again, we had a lovely time. And before he left, I said to him, "Here's my business card." I said, "If you're ever hungry," I said, "give me a call." But throughout the week, I couldn't seem to get him out of my mind. So on Thursday night, I decided to see if I could try to find him. And unbeknownst to me that night, he was very hungry, and he thought maybe if he stood on the same corner, he might see me again, and I might offer to take him to dinner. And as I turned the corner, there I was standing in the same burgundy sweats. I said hello. I asked him if he was hungry. He told me he was starving, so we went to McDonald's. And while we were having dinner, I said to him, I've got a great idea. I said, what are you doing on Monday night? I said, how about if we meet at 7 o'clock? I said, and I'll take you out to dinner again. And he then asked if it would be okay if he could wear the clothes that he had on, because I was taking him to the Hard Rock Cafe. And while we were having dinner on Monday night, again now at the Hard Rock Cafe, I said, I've got a great idea. I said, why don't you meet me on the corner next Monday night? I said, and I'll take you out to dinner again. And we ended up developing this friendship where we would meet every Monday, and we met for the next 4 years and hundreds of times thereafter. So that's a very short part of the book.
Okay, and so an invisible thread. Tell me about how that Chinese proverb relates to this story with Maurice.
Well, you know, an invisible thread, as you mentioned, is an ancient Chinese proverb, how it connects people who are destined to meet. And I truly believe that Maurice was meant to come into my life. Now, when I was 25 years old, my mother, at the young age of only 47, passed away. But I've always believed that she's been by my side, and I actually have no doubt that my mother knew at that time that I needed more in my life, and she played a role in bringing us together. And I think that for most people, if they were to really stop and think about it, they have had people who've come into their life for a reason. And you know what's so interesting? When I've had readers write into me and say to me, you know, I've got this incredible relationship, friendship with someone, but I never ever thought that it was really an invisible thread that actually connected us. So we all have these invisible thread connections, and I think in some ways the name of my book almost connected or gave a definition to that friendship. Pardon me.
Yes. And so the first book talked about your journey with Maurice, and this new book talks about other things that might be described as angels on earth. Tell me why you thought to write another book and how it differs from the first.
Well, it's actually really pretty different. It's very different. In the back of an invisible thread, I suggested to readers, if they had their own invisible thread story, to share it with me. And at the time, I don't even remember why I did that, but I decided to see if people would write their own stories. And before I knew it, actually a month after an invisible thread came out, I received my first email from someone by the name of Angel Perez. And he proceeded to tell me how, when he was a young boy in high school, his family came from Puerto Rico, and his family was living in poverty in the Bronx in the late 1970s, which was a terrible time in the Bronx. And he had a guidance counselor who took a real interest in him, and she noticed that he was really a very special young man. And she took him under her wing, and she helped to guide him through high school and actually helped him figure out where he wanted to go to college. And today, Angel is working at Trinity College, and he's got a doctorate degree. But he absolutely believes that Irma was this angel on earth that came into his life. So that was the very first story that I received. In fact, that story is in Angels on Earth. It's chapter 29, The Sunburn. But I started receiving all of these beautiful stories of people and how someone came into their life and made a profound difference, or they met someone and how that person made a profound difference in the giver's life. And in 2015, I realized that I had the most beautiful compilation of other invisible thread stories. And felt that it was important to publish these stories and came up with the name of the book, Angels on Earth.
Now, is your belief that if we honor and activate the invisible thread connections in our lives, that we can indeed become angels on earth? For someone who is listening today, how would you advise them to do that?
Well, I think it's actually really pretty simple. You know, so often these beautiful blessings are right in front of us, but all we have to do is pause for a moment and actually recognize that this blessing is right there. And sometimes we're all just so busy that we don't take the time to actually acknowledge our surroundings. I talk about it in Angels on Earth, how we're now the selfie generation. And when we take a selfie, you turn the camera inward. But when you take that same camera and you turn it outward, you get a much larger picture. So it's a matter of being really aware of your surroundings. And the very first chapter in Angels on Earth is called The Hug. And I made this chapter the first chapter because I believed it was so simple. Drew Sanchez was in a supermarket, and she saw a young woman with three small children, and the young boy had a calculator in his hand. And as they would pick up an item off of the shelf, he would put it into the calculator, the price. And if it was within their budget, he would put it into the basket, and if not, it would go back on the shelf. And Drew remembered when she was a young single woman, she was struggling. She remembered what it was like, and she decided that she wanted to go over and see if she could possibly help that woman. And this was a woman who was a stranger, and she was just in the supermarket. And she walked over and said, "I noticed that, you know, it looks like you're on a very tight budget." She said, "And I remember when I was a young woman your age, I was on a very tight budget too, and I would love to buy your groceries for you." And she really wasn't sure how the woman was going to react to her. But the woman looked at her, she smiled, she started to cry, and she said, "Thank you." And so Drew mentioned that she'd go over and wait at the front by the registers for her. And she waited for about 15 minutes, and when the young mother didn't come up to the register, she felt that maybe she was embarrassed. So Drew went over and she bought a gift certificate and found the young mother in the produce section and walked over to her and said to her, "You know, I've got to get back to work, but it looks like you're still shopping, so I would love to give you this gift card." And she handed the woman the gift card, and the woman started to cry, and she thanked her. And as Drew was walking away, all of a sudden she heard the two young boys say, "Stop, stop." And so she turned around, and the two young boys went running up to her and gave her this big, huge hug, and they kept saying, "Thank you." So again, it's a perfect example of how, if you are aware of your surroundings, you can receive the most beautiful blessings. And what people often think, it's the people who are getting are the ones that are receiving. But in this particular case, it's a perfect example of how Drew never forgot that moment. And she knew in that very short period of time that she'd made a difference. And she said now, whenever she shops, she keeps her eyes open to her surroundings.
In your life, your interaction with Maurice appears on the surface to be something that he benefited from, but I believe you would tell us that you might have benefited more.
You know, people used to say to me all the time that I was so lucky that Maurice was so lucky to have met me. And what I would always say, I was so lucky to have met Maurice. He came into my life at a time. I was 35 years old. I was single. I was focused on my career, and that was pretty much how I lived every day. And all of a sudden, one day, this young boy came into my life, and he helped me appreciate the blessings that I had in my life. I used to say to people all the time, that if we could all walk in the shoes of a young child who's homeless, we would never, ever complain about our lives again. So an invisible thread also gives an inside look at how difficult it is for these children who are living in these shelter hotels. Maurice helped me really appreciate my blessings. I too came from an abusive household, but I never ever had to worry about where my next meal would come from. My father always worked very hard. My parents struggled, but my father was an alcoholic. And by meeting Maurice, it made me really appreciate the childhood that I did have. So it's not always the person, who's getting, it's the receiver that's receiving so much, but sometimes it's the person who's giving that really gets so much. You know, he brought into my life a new perspective. He made my life fuller. I had the opportunity to get together with this young boy every Monday. We got together every Monday for 4 years and hundreds of times thereafter, and we're still great friends. In fact, he is a full partner in the book An Invisible Thread.
Tell us about your best Christmas present ever that you received in 1986.
You know, that's another sweet story in An Invisible Thread, and I know that it's my book, but it's really his story. I had asked Maurice prior to the holiday season, Christmas, you know, what he was doing. And he told me nothing. And I said, well, don't you celebrate Christmas? And he said, well, not really. He said, last year, he said, I went to the Salvation Army. He said, and it's really great. I got a really warm, great meal, and I got to pick a toy out of a bin. And he picked out a white teddy bear with a little red heart. So I asked him if he wanted to spend Christmas with me and my family on Long Island. And he instantly said, of course, yes. And it was the first Christmas that he got to spend really with a family. And that day he brought over the one and only thing that he owned, which was this little white teddy bear with a red heart. And sometimes it's the people who have the least amount that are willing to give the most. And he tucked under my Christmas tree a little white teddy bear. In fact, we tell this story in a children's book, which is An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, which is targeted to children ages 4 to 8.
Now, I read one of your stories. It was entitled Moving the Needle. Could you tell us that one?
Moving the Needle and Angels on Earth?
Yes. Was about a speech to 200 students in a middle school in Ohio.
Oh.
And,
Moving the Needle, yes. It was a school in Ohio, and what was really pretty amazing is I went there and I spoke, and we had just the greatest morning. And that afternoon, I was signing books, and a teacher came over to me and said to me, the people in the cafeteria wanted to know what happened in the morning because all of the children were saying please and thank you. One of the things that I love to do when I speak at schools, you know, after I do my speech, then I always open it up to Q&A, and I love to hear the kinds of questions the students will ask me. And then I love to turn it over and talk about what they think are small acts of kindness. And because of that conversation, you know, I said a simple act of kindness is something as small as thanking the people who serve you lunch every single day in the cafeteria. Or what about saying thank you to the custodian who works so hard to keep your schools clean? I said, these are all small acts of kindness, and you to take the moment, to take a moment and to thank them for doing this for you, for all of you, makes a difference. And all of the children were basically thanking the people in the cafeteria for lunch.
You said that kindness brings the divine to earth. And I suppose that you would say that to the extent that you're kind to other people, you are an angel on earth.
Yes, and also what I talk about, and there's a chapter in Angels on Earth called The Helper's High. And basically research shows and proves that when you show kindness, that kindness actually is contagious. And what I tell students all the time, it's the best high of all, because the more you do it, the more you want to do it over and over again. And the wonderful thing about when you do that, it creates this incredible ripple effect that ripples outward. And in the case of Maurice, for example, he not only changed my life, and I not only changed his life, but even more importantly than that, it had a ripple effect because it changed the lives of his children, too. His children will never know from hunger, violence, and drugs.
You're talking about the ripple effect. I don't know whether it was your book or somebody else's book, but there was a story of a woman in line in the drive-thru line at Starbucks, I think it was.
Okay.
And she said, I would like to pay for the coffee of the person behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in your book?
No, that's not in my book, but I've heard of that story, and people do this, and I think it is just such a great way to show kindness. And I truly believe what happens is that that person then wants to, another book that I just absolutely have always loved is Pay It Forward. And then that person who has received that kindness on the Starbucks line will hopefully do the same thing.
And this particular story, as I remember, 81 people in line did the same thing.
Yeah. So it's not only that kindness is contagious, but there's this incredible ripple effect that can take place. And that is a perfect example of that. It's a lovely story. I know of that story.
I don't know if you know, but in my books, like the most recent one that just came out and is available on Amazon, called Freedom from Addiction 3.
No, I don't, and I apologize, but I'm going to look into it as soon as we hang up.
Okay. At any rate, I want to help save people from at least 31 different addictive behaviors. And one of the underlying things in that book that helps them achieve that result is for them to find out what their purpose in life is, what their mission is, what they were created for, and then do it. And everyone can have different missions or purposes, but mainly everything has to do with helping somebody else. And I'm thinking that if you were to say to yourself, my purpose in life right now is to be an angel on earth, that would change the planet.
Yeah, you know, when An Invisible Thread came out, I had really no idea of what to expect. It was my first book. So I really didn't know. And what was amazing to me was how it has resonated with people all across the country and really all around the world. And I never, ever could have imagined when Invisible Thread came out that I would ultimately be a speaker across the country on the power of small acts of kindness and how we all can make a difference in the life of another person by just being kind. You know, kindness is, it's so easy. And I believe that when you incorporate it into your life, it does make you feel good and it makes you want to do it over and over and over again.
Yes. Your chapter 24 is entitled The Purpose. It's about Genevieve.
Yes.
Could you tell us that story?
Yeah, that story is really, I mean, I have to honestly say there's 29 angel chapter angel stories in the book, and each and every one I love. But Genevieve Botero was a young woman doing really well in the corporate world. She was single. She loved what she was doing, but she felt like it really wasn't her purpose. And one of the things that she loved the most was being able, what she loved the most was when she was a little girl, her bedtime hour was very special to her. Sometimes the things that we take so for granted are the things that are so important. And she just always remembered bedtime and how her mother would read books to her. So she decided that she wanted to really try to share that same kind of feeling with young children. And so she started going to shelters and reading books to these young children. But what she realized was when it was time for these children to go to bed, they just got onto their cots. They didn't change their clothes. And she said to the people in the shelter, don't they put their pajamas on? And the people in the shelter basically said, you know, more often than not, they don't have pajamas. And she said, well, I would love to come back next week, and can I bring pajamas for all of the children so we can create this really wonderful sense of bedtime? And I'd love to then read them a book and have them put their pajamas on. And so she came back the next week with pajamas for all the children. And the children changed into their pajamas, and she read them a bedtime story. And she asked if she could come back the following week. And she started bringing pajamas every single week to shelters. And one little girl was really very shy, and she didn't want the pajamas. And she was watching all the other children, but she didn't want the pajamas. And Genevieve said to her, don't you want a pair of pajamas? And the little girl said to her, what are pajamas? And she didn't even know what pajamas were used for. And then she explained it, and then she finally agreed she'd change into pajamas. And so Genevieve started this, over 10 years ago. And she has delivered now more than 5 million pairs of pajamas and new books to underprivileged children all across the country. It's an amazing, amazing organization. And what she realized was that was her purpose in life. But when she started reading to children in these shelter hotels, she didn't know it. You know, it wasn't until she probably was doing it for about 6 months that all of a sudden it was like this raindrop popped onto her forehead, but she was in the subway, and all of a sudden the word pajama program came out, and she realized that was her purpose. Thank you for bringing that story up, because I love Genevieve's, I love what Genevieve is doing. She's so special. And the fact that she's able to deliver pajamas to children who are underprivileged, particularly right now with this winter season coming up, anyone who is interested in learning more about her organization can go to pajamaprogram.org, and it is really an amazing organization. And I was really so blessed to be able to have her story in my book.
People ask me all the time, how do I find my purpose in life? I don't know what it is. I go to a job, and I come home and eat dinner and get up and go to another job, and I don't feel like it's my purpose. And in my books, I give them at least one way to find their purpose, because if everyone knew what their purpose was and acted on it, the whole world would turn upside down. And this is what I tell them. If you say a prayer, and the prayer is something like this, if I had no limitations, because essentially the only limitations we truly have are what we put on ourselves, neither educational nor financial nor any other kind. And if I didn't care what the people around me thought, not my parents, not my children, neighbors, business associates, what would I do with my life that would make the most meaningful contribution to the world? And then wait on an answer and meditate on an answer. Sooner or later, something is going to come to you. And then go do it. Even if it takes your entire life, that's what you were meant to do. And you may have to take a minimal pay job to have enough money to live on, but you can do your mission on your off time. And I would just like for all the listeners today to think about that. Do you know why you're here? Do you know what you were created to do? And then try to find out. Angels on Earth, Laura Schroff. Laura, tell us how to get a copy of this great book, because it's one of the truly great books that I've read.
I would love to, but I just want to say to you that I absolutely loved what you just said, because I think it's really, really important, because I believe that people do say, what is my purpose? Genevieve kept feeling like there was more to her life, but she didn't see it. But she also kept asking for a sign. Just show me a sign. And I think it's so wonderful that you are giving your readers, you know, tips on how they can find their purpose. And they don't have to find their purpose 100% overnight. They can take those little steps that are actually gearing them towards their purpose. That was really beautiful, Wynn. Thank you so much. As far as Angels on Earth, I have a website, and it's laurashroff.com. And in fact, there is a section for Angels on Earth where you can actually meet the angels, and there's pictures of all of the people who are actually in Angels on Earth. And, you know, I always love to say, if you can go to your local bookstore, please go, because we want to always support our local bookstores. But if not, you could always get it on barnesandnoble.com or Amazon Books a Million.
And I would assume that The Invisible Thread is still in print?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely, yes, without a doubt. And so is the children's book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. And people, your listeners can actually see a little bit more about all of the books on my website, laurashroff.com.
Great. Laura, do you have anything else you want to tell the world now that we're going to have your program up available within 24 hours?
Well, I want to wish everybody a very, very happy holiday season. Can't help but want to acknowledge the people in Texas, and for us to pray for them and to pray for all the people. And, you know, hopefully, you know, by doing acts of kindness, we can make a difference. You know, there is so much goodness in this world, and we see it over and over and over again, how there is really much more goodness than there is evil, that's for sure.
Well, thank you so much for the time that you've spent with me today and with all the people that will be listening to what you had to say tomorrow and on into the time coming.
Well, it's my honor and it's my privilege, so thank you.